Thank you. Breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Oh, Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can't see now with open eyes. Darkest water and deepest pain, I wouldn't trade it for anything. 'Cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for them I would. your hands and your feet. I found my victory.
God of praise in the sanctuary. Can you say that you're thankful for the scars? Because it reveals to us who He is. Can you say that you're thankful for the scars? Can you trust that He's faithful? Can you trust that He loves you even when you're being scarred? Hallelujah. We serve a great God, an awesome God. Lord, we thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit in this place. We are humbled that You came to see about us. And God, we thank You because when You come, we know You come with deliverance. God, You come with healing. God, You come in power to restore us, to renew us. In the name of Jesus, we honor You today. God, in this time of consecration, we ask, Lord God, that we humble ourselves before You, that we give up those things that we love, God, to allow You to be Lord in our lives. God, we submit to You because You alone are God, and we realize that all we need is in You. Hallelujah. We honor You today. Hallelujah. Lift up a praise in the sanctuary. He's been too good. Hallelujah. He's brought us from too far for us to just not even want to give Him a shout of glory and victory today. Hallelujah. God, we bless Your name. You are worthy of glory and honor and praise. You alone are worthy, God. We love You. We love You not because of what You do, not because we seek Your hand, but God, we love You because of who You are. Who You are. God, I thank You. So, Lord, we submit this service to You today. Have Your way. Do whatever it is You feel like needs to be done in this sanctuary today. We give You free course. In Jesus' strong name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Give Him a praise as you're seated. Hallelujah. We would like to welcome you to our service today. Thank you for coming. Are there any visitors in the building today? Any visitors? no visitors. Well, we're glad to see you anyway, whether you're a visitor or not. We bless God for you. Now it's time for our offering. You can give, come to the front and give. You can give online. Be blessed as you give.
Ladies, we're excited about what God is doing, and we've got some great opportunities coming up. We're actually here to talk about it today. And so this is Dorothy Holland. She's one of our women's coordinators, and you know her well by all of the decorating and all of the behind-the-scenes things that she gathers and gets together for us. And you know Elaine as our camera girl. She's the one that videos and takes all these awesome pictures to share along with us.
Right.
Talk to us, Elaine, about what's going on and give us some updates because we're excited.
Yes. Well, starting in October, the dates haven't been finalized yet. We are going to start a new Bible study, Leap Into Love, where you can learn how radical love and acceptance of your physical frame could change your life. Leap Into Love is a guidebook to helping followers of Jesus learn how radical love and acceptance of their physical frame could change their whole lives. Exploring the conflict between projected worldview of beauty and unchangeable features God gave you. If what you see in the mirror is an example of God's passion and creativity, but you hate it, how can you really trust Him for your life? You are an example of His most significant work. And during this study, the main topics are going to be such as self-abandonment. I hate what I see in the mirror.
Oh, wow.
Yes. A lot of days
we all do.
Then recovering ourselves, the core of me, who you are at your core.
Yes.
And building confidence, awareness, and awakenings on how you can build confidence. And then changing culture, becoming an agent of change. Transformation.
Yes.
It's all part of
knowing
who you are in Christ and feeling and being, knowing that you're beautiful because you are.
Right.
The way God made you.
Yes. So we look forward to you women signing up. If you need to contact Elaine, Dorothy, or myself, we're available, as well as having some perks coming up in the next weeks, just to make sure that you're ready, you're on task, and you're prepared to join us for Leap Into Love.
Yes.
Friends, I was not expecting company today. Allow me to introduce myself. It is I, Dr. Pants, Dr. Smarty Pants. I am known around the world for my extraordinary knowledge. Just ask anyone and they'll tell you about Smarty Pants. Just think, have you ever told your parents something that they didn't know? And what would they tell you? Stop being a smarty pants. Ha, because I know everything. Or, husbands, maybe you've told your wives, how they should be doing things. And again, the response is, stop being a smarty pants. You see, I am well known all around this world. But in my quest for knowledge, I have found there are a few things that I still do not understand. One of these things we will be focusing on for the next few weeks, and that is wisdom. So where does wisdom come from? Well, that is the very question that we are here to answer. You see, anyone can be a smarty pants, but not everyone can make wise decisions. I thought I would enlist the help of some ordinary, everyday people. And I can ask them some questions, and we can determine if their answer is wise or unwise. And maybe by doing so, we can determine what the source of wisdom is. So without further ado, let me introduce today's guest. Construction Carl, it's wonderful to see you.
Hey, Mr. Smarty Pants. It's Carl, the construction worker right here. I copy you loud and clear. Don't worry about the background noise. It's just the dump truck and the loader. It'll be okay.
So, Carl, tell us a little about yourself.
Oh, you want to know a little something about me? Well, you know, I'm nothing special. I've just been working my whole life out here on the construction site. You know, when I got out of school, I needed a job. I needed some money to support my family. You know, I didn't make it to college, but I've been through the school of hard knocks. And man, you learn some things in that school that you don't get nowhere else.
Well, Carl, I've spent extensive time in Cambridge and Oxford. I don't recall seeing the School of Hard Knocks. Is that Ivy League?
Mr. Smarty Pants, I don't know what you're talking about. Ivy League? Man, the only ivy we got where I come from is poison ivy. You get some of that in your beard if you want to. Woo, boy, she'll be itching. Mmm. Man, it'll make you itch all day long. You have to shave your face with calamine lotion.
Well, Carl, I'd like to ask you a question, and we will keep track of your answer here on the paper. And at the end of the show, maybe we'll be able to determine where wisdom comes from. Carl, are you ready? Carl, let's say you were the recipient of $1 million. What would you do with that money, Carl? Would you spend it on yourself, or would you use it to help others?
Let me make sure I understand my options. So I have $1 million, and I can choose option A, to spend it on myself, or option B, to help somebody else. Let me just think about both my choices for just 1 minute. Let's see here. Option A, spend it on myself. Woo! Woo, boy. Oh, no more hot construction site for me. Man, I just kick back on the beach. Somebody better bring me a lemonade. Come on. I give you a tip right here. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Woo! This is gonna be a tough one. Let me think about option B. Option B was, I can use it to help other people. Let me think about that one. Well, you know what, Mr. Smarty Pants? Now that I think about both options, I think I'm going to do option B.
Carl, I'm not sure I understand. You are telling me that you would choose option B? You would not keep the money for yourself? That does not seem very logical at all. Carl, why would you make such a decision?
You see, I wouldn't have always made that decision, but I am a Christian now. I've given my heart to Jesus, and I try to follow his word with every decision that I make. So when something difficult comes up, I say, what does the Bible tell me to do here? And I go back and I read about it and I think about it. And I know the Bible says that we should care for others just like we would care for ourselves, and that we should not be greedy with our money. So I think, since I'm a Christian, the wise choice for me to make would be to help somebody else with my $1 million. And you know what? I don't really need $1 million anyway. I've got a pretty good life, just like it is. I mean, I work hard. I can provide for my family, as long as I got a little bit of money to get the things we need. Keep a little shampoo for my beard. Man, we good.
I'm not so sure, Carl. I know you chose option B, but I do not understand why you would do that. Everything is telling me that if I had $1 million, I should use it for myself. That is what the world would do. But you're telling me, because you are a Christian, that you would do things differently. You would choose to follow the Bible. Carl, would you agree with that statement?
That seems like the right thing to do. That seems like the wise decision to make.
So, from that, I can deduce that, as a Christian, the source of wisdom is God. Carl, I thank you for joining us today. And I also thank you guys for showing up. Sometimes learning can be really boring and lonely. I'm glad that you're here to learn with me. Don't forget to join me next week as we continue to learn more about wisdom.
All right, yes, let's give him a hand. I have a few volunteers. You guys can go ahead and make your way, Aiden, Keaton, and Kaija. We're starting our new series today called Wise. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about Solomon and his wisdom. I have a question I'm going to ask these guys. You can come right over here, you two. I'm going to give you this mic to share. And Aubrey, you can come right over here. So here's my question today. If you could have anything, let's say I could give you anything in the world that you wanted, what would you choose to have?
I would choose to have wisdom.
Wisdom. Somebody knows our story coming up. A Keaton, what would you choose to have? You could choose anything. Anything
more
in the world.
More faith.
More faith. Aubrey, what would you choose to have?
For God to come down to earth.
God could come down to earth. Those are some great answers. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. You guys can go be seated. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I might would have chosen, I asked a couple more kids in the audience, and one of them told me money. Oh, so I would have money. And then I'm pretty sure if I asked Jackson right now, he didn't want to come on stage, he would say books, because right now he really loves books. That's probably what he would want. If you could have anything. Well, the man in our Bible story today was asked that very question. We've been talking last month about David. In our story today, King David has died. He has passed on the job to his son Solomon. Solomon is now the king. And God appears to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter number 3, verses 1 through 13. And he said, Solomon, what would you like? I will give you anything that you want. What would you like? I mean, some of us as adults, we would probably say, well, let's see, this bill to be paid, or a new house, or new things. But Solomon, he thought, and he said, well, wisdom. I'm a new king. I'm young. I would like wisdom and a heart that understands so that I can be a good king, so that I can help the people that I'm ruling and make good choices. Well, God was so pleased with Solomon's answer. He said, not only Solomon, and I'm going to give you wisdom, because you didn't ask for a long life or riches, I'm going to give you those things too. As long as you live, there will never be another king like you. And Solomon, he had an amazing rule. He had riches beyond compare. He did amazing things, but what he was most known for was his wisdom. Not that he was smart, but that he was wise. And there is a big difference. And today, we're beginning to learn that wisdom comes from God. And how do we get wisdom? We simply ask God for it. We find in God's word. We find when we pray and we ask God, God, give us wisdom. See, sometimes we don't make the best choices with our own sense, our own smartness. We don't always make the best choices. But with God's wisdom, then we make great choices. And then that can change our life. So we're going to continue the rest of the month to talk about Solomon. But today we learn that wisdom comes from God and we can ask him for wisdom. Let's do that right now. Let's pray and ask God and thank him for this gift that he gives us called wisdom. God, we thank you so much for the example of Solomon. God, I pray that we wouldn't rely on our own sense, God, that we would ask you for wisdom, God, to make good choices, to use the experience that we have and combine it with the wisdom that you give. And we thank you and praise you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a reminder that next Sunday after service, we're honoring Miss Audrey Brabble. She has worked tirelessly for many, many years cleaning the church and helping us here at the church. And she's retiring. And we just want to give honor where honor is due. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer you can see after the service. Oh, actually, Miss Dorothy over here has the sign-up sheet. So see Miss Dorothy to sign up so we know for the caterer how many will be present. But let's just join together and honor Miss Audrey. Thank you guys so much.
Don't you love Pastor Miranda and Pastor Gary? Come on, give them a big hand. They deserve it. We really appreciate them for all that they do. I'm going to ask Josh to come on back to the keyboard, please. Before we jump into the word, and you can go ahead and grab your Bibles and start turning to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. But before we go into the word, I just want to take a moment and just recenter ourselves and focus on the Holy Spirit. Once you get to that scripture, just close your eyes right where you are. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Jesus, we thank you for who you are, that there's no one like you. That your love is constant, that your love never fails. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. We have nothing to fear in the presence of the Lord. God is good all the time. He never fails. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always with us. My prayer is that some of you will be set free today from fear, from condemnation, from guilt and shame. And I want us to just drink in the love of God as we dive into the word today. Listen with a worshipful attitude. Soak in the love of God. The title of my message today is When We Are Faithless, He is Faithful. When we are faithless, He is faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Paul is talking here. He's writing to Timothy. This is near the end of Paul's life. And he is giving last words to Timothy. He's giving him encouragement. He's giving him advice. And in the midst of that, he quotes a saying. And he says, the saying is trustworthy. And here it is. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. We know that. We know that if we've accepted Jesus into our heart and given him our life, then one day we will live with him forever in eternity. The saying goes on, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We have to endure. Life is a battle. Life is a race. And we have to stay strong. We have to run the race. And he goes on, and he says something surprising here in verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, isn't that the opposite of what he just said? He cannot deny himself. And what this saying encapsulates is that tension and that struggle that we face in the Christian life. That wrestling, that struggle to be faithful, that striving after God, that pursuit of holiness, that pursuit of our destiny and our calling and stepping into all that God has for us. And yet, none of us is perfect. Every one of us fails at some point. There is not one who is without sin. No, not one. Paul says that in Romans, and he emphasizes it. No, not one. None of us is perfect. And so this saying is putting into words the grace and the mercy of God. God is merciful. God is gracious. Slow to anger, abounding in love. He's faithful. And I want to give you three examples today. We're going to go to Hosea chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. Three examples of God's faithfulness. And then we're going to talk about what to do with that. If you would, turn to Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. God does says another surprising thing here. He says a very difficult thing to the prophet Hosea. We don't read this passage a lot. It's not very popular. It's actually a really uncomfortable passage to look at. God says to Hosea, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go and marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. How would you like it if God told you something like that? You know, sometimes we wonder, why do we go through certain things? Why do we suffer certain things? Well, just be glad you're not an Old Testament prophet. Just be glad God has never told you to do anything like this. And this is a picture of God's faithfulness to you and me. God's faithfulness to Israel, God's faithfulness to the church. That even though we are like Gomer sometimes, and I'm not talking about Gomer Pyle from Andy Griffith, if some of you know that show, that's what I think of when I hear that name. But sometimes we're like this Gomer. Sometimes we stray away. There's a hymn that says, prone to stray, prone to wander. God still takes us back. He still produces fruit in our lives. There is never a moment where you've messed up too far. There's never a moment where you've done something that God would never take you back. God is faithful. God is faithful. And you see, this translation of this passage is a very kind translation. What it actually is saying here is that this was her profession. This was her profession, and this was her way of life. And so this is what I call the unrenewed mind. That even after her life was changed, even after she had a husband, even after she was called to faithfulness, she continued to go back into her old way of life. She continued to walk in that habit. It was for her the way that she knew. It was the way of the world. It was survival. The unrenewed mind is one that tries to continue to rely on our own selves and on our own strength. When we get backed into a corner and we feel helpless, we do the thing that we know. God is calling us to renewed minds today. God is calling us to renewed minds. Just close your eyes. Say, Father, renew my mind. Romans chapter 2, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to recognize who we are in Christ. We have to recognize that we're a son, that we're a daughter, that God has given us new life. He has brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so we should act like it. We should live like it. We should learn to rely on him and not continue to rely on our old way of doing things. God says that you're valuable. Even when you mess up, you are still worth loving. The second example I want to give you is in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. This is the story of the prodigal son. You see, God relates to us as a husband and a wife, a husband and a bride, but he also relates to us as a father and a child. We are the bride of Christ, but we are the child of the Father. And this is a picture of that in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says, and he said, there was a man, and this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between him. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. The NIV says wild living. Here's a son that essentially says to his father, I wish you were dead. Give me my property now. Give me my inheritance now. Go ahead, divide it up. I want to forget about everything that you are. I want to forget about the home life that you've given me. I want to forget about all the good training, and I want to go live my life on my terms. Just give it to me now. This is an unfaithful son. This is a son who doesn't appreciate the love of his father. This is what I call the wayward mind. The wayward mind seeks pleasure. The wayward mind doesn't have time for God. The wayward mind just wants to go and do his or her own thing. The wayward mind strays away from God, looking for something better. But friends, can I tell you, there is nothing better than the love of God. There is nothing better than the presence of God. There is nothing better than the faithfulness of the Father to his children. God is good to us. There is no pleasure that you could find that is better than what he has to offer. The Bible says in Psalms, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is joy everlasting. Some people have said there's no high higher than God. God is the best thing that could ever happen to you and me. Close your eyes and say, Father, give me a focused mind. Thank you, Jesus. The third example I want to give you is in John chapter 18. verse 25 through 27. John chapter 18, verse 25 through 27. Here's another famous story about one of Jesus' beloved disciples. This one is about Peter. John chapter 18, verse 25 says, "Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, 'You also are not one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed." We know this story. We know that Jesus had told Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." This was Peter. This was the chief apostle. This was Peter who was not afraid to speak his mind. This was Peter who wasn't afraid of anything. This is the same Peter that stepped out of a boat in the middle of a violent storm and walked on water with Jesus. This is Peter. This is Peter who said, "No matter what happens, I will never leave you. I will die with you." This was a man who was sold out, who had given up his business, who had given up his livelihood, a man who had said, "I am going to be a disciple of Jesus no matter what the cost. I am going to follow him faithfully." You see, no one is not susceptible to failure. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been serving the Lord. Every one of us has a weakness. Every one of us can stray if we're not careful. I call this the fearful mind. The fearful mind. You see, this was about self-preservation. This was Peter getting lost in the heat of the moment, because Jesus, when this was happening, Jesus was on his way to the cross. Jesus was being questioned by the religious leaders who were getting ready to kill him. Peter is standing outside, warming himself by the fire, trying to blend in, trying to be incognito. And all of a sudden, somebody finds him out. And they says, you're one of them, aren't you? You're one of his disciples. I know you." And Peter stiffens up. He gets really scared. He becomes afraid, and he tries to preserve himself. He tries to save himself. He doesn't want to be found out. And in that, he acts out of fear. He acts out of self-preservation. He forgets in the moment. He loses focus, and he denies Jesus. He says, "I don't know him." This was Peter. But you know what? God is faithful. Jesus, the perfect reflection of the Father, is faithful. And after it was all said and done, after Jesus had risen from the grave, after he had reconnected with Peter and the disciples, he gave Peter a second chance. Sitting on the beach, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Say it with me. Say, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And he asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" Say it. Say, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then Jesus asked him a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" What did he say? "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You see, three times Jesus asked him that question and gave Peter the opportunity three times to reaffirm his love and his commitment to Jesus, the same number of times that he denied him. He gave Peter complete restoration in that moment.
He said, Peter, it doesn't matter what you did. I know you denied me. It doesn't matter what the reason was. It doesn't matter why you did it. What matters is that I am with you here now, and I am giving you an opportunity to start over afresh. I am restoring you in this moment. You see, when Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? What Jesus was really saying was, Peter, I love you. Peter, I am faithful to you. Even when you are faithless, I am faithful. Hallelujah. Thank God for faithfulness. Just like the father of the prodigal son, who when the son came back, when after the son had squandered all that he had, and he came to his senses, came back to his father with humility, with repentance, and the father saw his son afar off, and he ran toward his son. He didn't say, don't you come back in this house. He said, son, I love you. And he embraced him, and he put a robe around him and a ring on his finger, and he celebrated the return of his son with a giant, extravagant feast with a big party. That is how God celebrates you. That is how God loves you. God says, when you are faithless, I am faithful. Hallelujah. Give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Father, give me a trusting mind. Hallelujah. God is merciful. I'm going to read that verse again. God is merciful and gracious. This is Psalm 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That word, steadfast love, it's a special word that happens over and over again in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word chesed. And that word, it's translated in various ways because it's a foreign concept to us. It's a word that means mercy. It's a word that means love. It's a word that means kind. It's a word that means faithfulness and devotion. That no matter what happens, that the person that has chesed, the person that has steadfast love, is going to remain in relationship with you. That there's nothing you can do to break that bond. This is the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated to us when he died on the cross. No greater love has a man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus went to that cross for you and me. He died for you and me. How much more should we live for him? Romans 2:4 says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? You see, some of us, when we mess up, we're afraid that God is going to come down on us harshly. We're afraid. See, maybe you grew up in a setting where you were preached condemnation. Maybe you grew up in a setting where you were heaped on with guilt and shame every time you made a mistake. And that could be maybe in the church that you grew up in. It wasn't this church, I know that. Maybe it was in the church you grew up in. Maybe it was in your home. Maybe every time you messed up, you got beat over the head. Maybe your parents didn't show you mercy and love. But that is not how God is. God acts with kindness and forbearance and patience. And it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. You see, sometimes when there's something that you want to do and somebody tells you not to do it, it makes you want to do it even more. Sometimes when you're treated harshly, it actually causes you to run toward that thing. Oftentimes we don't realize that sin functions like an addiction. Even things that we wouldn't normally classify as addictions nevertheless function like addictions. Gomer was addicted to her way of life. That was her crutch. The prodigal son was addicted to hedonism. All he wanted was pleasure. He wanted to go and live it up. But addiction-like behavior needs a replacement for the addiction. It needs a replacement. You can't usually, you can't just quit cold turkey. This is why we have nicotine patches. This is why you see folks trying to quit smoking, chew on something. You got to chew on peanuts. You got to chew on something. This is why we have programs like AA. This is why we have programs like Celebrate Recovery. Because there has to be a replacement for that thing. Because when we turn to sin, we do it out of helplessness. We do it because we are needing something. We're trying to fulfill a legitimate need. You've probably heard this said before. A legitimate need in an illegitimate way. We need a replacement. And if you just condemn a person, if you've ever had any interaction with an addict, if you condemn that person, if you just beat that person up, you know what you're going to make them do? You're going to make them run right toward that addiction. You're just going to make the problem worse. So instead of turning to sin, we have to turn to Jesus. And this is why Jesus doesn't condemn us. It says his kindness leads us to repentance. You see, when you mess up, when you're faithless, the worst thing you could do is run away. The worst thing you could do is what Adam and Eve did. They went and hid in the bushes. What needs to happen is for us to run toward him. Run right into the loving arms of the Father. Run right into the arms of the Father who always forgives us. Peter asked Jesus one time, Lord, if someone sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? 7 times? And Jesus says, no, Peter, 70 times 7, over and over and over and over again. And that's not just Jesus' command to us and how we should love others. That is actually a reflection of how God loves us. That every time we come to him, that he forgives us. You see, he paid for our sins. There's nothing that you and I could ever do to earn our way to heaven. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how holy you have lived. The Bible says that many will come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not work signs and wonders and miracles in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, because I never knew you. Those are harsh words. Lord, Lord, did I not grow up in church? Did I not come to church every Sunday? Was I not an usher? Did I not serve as a greeter? Did I not help with whatever they needed? Depart from me, for I never knew you. Friends, this is the gospel. The gospel is that you cannot earn your way to heaven. It's good news because none of us could do it anyway. We are fully dependent on the love and the faithfulness of God. The steadfast love of God. When we are faithless, he is faithful. Don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on your sin. Don't try to make it on your own. Run to the loving arms of the Father, the one who forgives us 70 times 7, the one whose love never fails, the one whose love never runs out. God is faithful to us. You see, there's a time for stern rebukes, and for some people that's just their personality. Some people just live life on the edge, and that's the most effective thing for them. I know people like that. But for a lot of us, God is like a father teaching his child to ride a bike. And when that child falls, does that father beat that child up? Does that father condemn that child? Does the father say, oh, you're good for nothing. You don't know how to do anything. Or does that father pick up the child and say, try it again. Do it again. Keep at it. You're going to make it. Until that child learns to ride that bicycle. That's the way God is with you and me. Keep at it. Keep going. Pick yourself up. Brush yourself off. Though a righteous man falls, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with the hand. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up again. That's what the Bible says about us. You and I are righteous if we've accepted Jesus in our heart. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. It's not about works. It's about knowing Him. It's about walking in relationship with Him. If you run from Him when you sin, it'll never work out for you. But if you walk in relationship with Him, if you confess to Him, Father, I messed up, but here I am, trusting in You. I don't have a fearful mind. I have a trusting mind. Father, I know that my mind is wayward at times. Father, give me a focused mind. Father, I know that I still need to be renewed in my mind. Father, renew me. Renew my thinking. We have to come to Him. We have to walk in relationship with Him. And in that, we come to know Him more and more and more. And we can know with certainty that when we see Him on that day, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. I hope this is setting somebody free today. I hope that your heart is being transformed as we sit in the love of God. Can you feel His love right now? Can you feel the love? This is where transformation happens, as we reflect on the nature and the character of God, and we invite Him to do a work in our hearts. You see, it doesn't make sense because it's not us. It's not our own strength. It's not our own ability. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to do a hidden work in our heart, to transform us, to give us the strength to be faithful. There is no fear in love. We read it earlier. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Say, Father, perfect me with love. Thank you, Jesus. There's no fear in love. God loves us perfectly. And this doesn't mean that you'll one day on this earth live in a way that you never sin. Perfection here is talking about completion. Perfection here is talking about renewing the mind. It's talking about giving yourself wholly to Jesus and living in a place where you don't fear, because you know that God loves you. So what do we do with all of this, besides what we're doing right now? Psalm 27:4 says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing. That will I seek after. We have to focus on the one thing. And when you do that, everything else just falls away. You see, this is what I was talking about earlier. Instead of focusing on the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the sin, which actually just worsens the problem, like an addict trying to move away from something to get free of something, they just run right back to it. We have to turn our attention. This is called repentance. We have to turn. This is literally what repent means. Turn away from that thing, those things, and focus our attention on loving Jesus, knowing Jesus, worshiping Jesus. And love here is an action verb. Worship is an action. Worship is a specific action. The word worship literally means to bow down. The word worship means to sacrifice yourself on the altar. In other words, surrender to who God is. Surrender to His will. And the way that we do that is by positioning our hearts before Him. Worship is prayer. See, we call a lot of things worship. And sometimes we use worship in a very broad sense. And that's okay. But the only reason that it makes sense in a broad sense is because it means something specific. It means to surrender ourselves to the Lord. It means to give ourselves to Him in prayer. And so I would encourage you to make time to seek Him. Seek Him. Go into your prayer closet, especially in this season. Go into your prayer closet, put on music, and begin to pray. Put on music and begin to sing. Worship manifests itself through prayer. It manifests itself through singing. It manifests itself through crying, even laughing. All kinds of things happen in worship. But worship is an expression of our love to God. It's an expression of our devotion to Him. And as we express devotion to Him, He pours out His devotion on us. He pours out His steadfast love on us. Focus on the one thing. Go after God. Set aside time in your schedule and seek Him. Nothing else matters, just the one thing. The psalmist here is asking that he would dwell in the house of the Lord. And this is talking about the temple. So when you go into worship, imagine yourself in the temple. Imagine God right in front of you, because we are the temple. Know you not that you are the temple of the living God? He is inside of us. And so we can access Him. We can access His love. We can talk to Him anytime we desire. How much of Him do you want? Seek after Him. Seek after the one thing. Gaze upon His beauty and inquire of Him. As we look at Him, as we behold Him, even as in a mirror, we become like Him, Paul says. Beholding Him as in a mirror, we become like Him. His reflection. You see, when we look at Him, it begins to reflect back on us. And we begin to see areas where He's calling us to change. We begin to see how good He is. And as we desire Him, those things just naturally fall away. We actually forget. We just forget about everything else. And His love transforms us. Seek after Him. One thing have I asked of the Lord. And here's the last thing I'll say. Give what you have. Give what you have to the Lord. This is like the story of the woman with the alabaster box. This is like the story of the little boy with the two fish and the five loaves, who gave what they had to Jesus. You see, the woman with the alabaster box was another sinful person that people said shouldn't even be able to come near Jesus. When she began to wipe His feet with her tears and her hair, the Pharisees said, if He knew what kind of woman this was, He wouldn't even let her touch Him. But that's not who Jesus is. That's not who Jesus is. And she gave, even though she didn't have a perfect life, even though she couldn't measure up to the Pharisees by their standards, at least, she gave what she had. She gave Him her tears. She gave Him her affection. She gave Him her dignity. She gave Him her most prized possession. She gave Him her livelihood, her very life. She laid it all down before Him. She gave Him her trust. Give Him what you have. Maybe it's all you can do to set aside 15 minutes in the morning and pray. Give what you have. Maybe it's all you can do to try to focus your mind on Him throughout the day. Give Him what you have. Give it just right where you are. God accepts you. That's it. There are no prerequisites. There's nothing you have to do. You don't get yourself cleaned up before you come to the Lord. That's what salvation is for. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. That's what baptism in Jesus is for. He is the one who washes us clean. Give Him what you have. Like the little boy, when they had to feed the crowd of 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves, Jesus fed the multitude. When you give Him what you have, He multiplies it. It's not about who you are. It's not about where you come from. It's not about your background, your socioeconomic status, your ethnicity, your abilities, your talents. None of that matters. Give Him what you have, and He will multiply it. He is able. He is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. He's faithful. Even when we are faithless, He is faithful. Stand to your feet. He is faithful. He is faithful. Just lift your hands to heaven, close your eyes, and receive the love of God. Just receive His love. Receive His faithfulness. Right where you are, this is your altar, right where you're standing. This is your altar. Begin to surrender. Listen, if there's sin that you need to surrender, do it right now. Don't wait another minute. Continue to seek Him in this moment and just surrender that thing. If there's fear that you need to confess to Him, confess it right now. If there's a crutch that you've been leaning on, something that you've been using for your own survival, confess it to Him right now. If you've been wandering after other things, if you've been straying away from Him, pursuing your own pleasures, just confess it to Him right now. Say, Father, forgive me. And as you do that, just let the Lord deal with you right now. Just in conversation with God right now. In prayer. In your own, box yourself in to prayer right now. And just converse with God. Just talk to Him. And listen to what He's saying to you. Receive that love. Receive. Listen, if it was fear, receive the confidence. If it's seeking after other things, receive focus and sober-mindedness. If it's relying on yourself, receive the knowledge of who you are in Christ, a beloved son and a daughter. Receive the faithfulness of God. We're going to sing. And as we sing, just let God touch you. Let His love fill you right where you are. The goodness of God. He's moving right now. He's moving. Some of you are being set free. Come on, just sing it out. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Hallelujah. We thank you that you never fail. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for your love, that when we are faithless, you are faithful, that you are constant and consistent. We receive your love today. We surrender to you today. We say yes to you today. Father, go with us. Let us lead lives holy and pleasing to you. We thank you for a fresh start today. We thank you for restoration today. I thank you, Lord, for setting us free today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. God bless you. You're welcome to linger. If you want to just stay in the presence of God, you're welcome to go. Please don't linger in the foyer. Please just make your way outside in the interest of social distancing. But if you want to stay in the sanctuary and just worship a little longer, you're welcome to do that. God bless you as you go.